So maybe you can talk a little bit about the data that we currently have. Of course, we saw the big POLO presentation, the phase III trial looking at this strategy. Can you talk about that study and basically what we know right now about PARP inhibitors and pancreatic cancer?
Yeah. It was a well-done study, particularly because they made a huge effort to screen over 3,000 patients across the world. And so we've learned a ton about just the identification of germline mutations in pancreatic cancers. I think one of the most interesting things to me personally is that all these presuppositions about what kind of patient most likely harbors a BRCA mutation was really thrown out the window. For example, 5% of South Koreans have germline BRCA mutations. You know, who would have thought that would have been the case? But they definitely find a broad spectrum of patient populations, demographic patient populations that have germline BRCA mutations. As far as the design of the study, they did definitely take this maintenance approach. I think my criticism of the study is they didn't define the period of time for which the patients received the chemotherapy. They just had to have been non-progressors on platinum-based therapy. Some of the patients actually had been on platinum-based therapy for a year and a half before they rolled into this study. But nevertheless, their primary endpoint was progression-free survival, like in some of the ovarian cancer studies, and they did achieve their primary endpoint of an increased progression-free survival over placebo. One other criticism about this study is that, and actually at my prior institution, we actively chose not to open the study because we just didn't feel good about putting these patients on a placebo arm after a period of induction chemotherapy with platinum-based therapy. So one of the criticism is, would that progression-free survival difference of olaparib versus placebo been more modest if there had actually been some sort of an active chemotherapy maintenance arm, like perhaps an oral capecitabine or an IV5-FU?
Could you talk a little bit more from a granular point of view, the specifics of the data in terms of the magnitude and also in terms of survival?
Sure. Yeah, so these, again, were germline BRCA mutated patients, so not somatic mutated patients. And they were on platinum-based therapy and had to be, by a very strict definition, not have progressed on prior platinum-based therapy. They were enrolled and then randomized to olaparib versus placebo. It was a 3-to-2 randomization. And the primary endpoint was progression-free survival. And if I remember the numbers correctly, the progression-free survival of olaparib was about 7.3 months, I think, versus about 3.4 months on placebo. The patients who responded while on the olaparib, now, of course, they may have been continuing to respond from their prior platinum, but nevertheless, the patients who responded often had very durable responses. And at the time that the trial was presented, there were still many patients on study continuously on olaparib, several of them with a complete response. They also looked at overall survival as a secondary endpoint. And another criticism of the study is that there was not a statistically significant improvement in overall survival. In fact, actually, the curves were pretty overlapping. But the thought was that with additional time, that especially those patients who had durable response on olaparib, that that would actually change the overall survival data in the year or two or three to come.
I'm assuming that very few of these patients crossed over to PARP inhibitors?
Some of them did. I think the number was roughly 7, which is not a huge number, but that may have influenced the treatment. The other thing that they didn't have data on is what percentage of patients went back on platinum-based therapy after they had progressed on placebo. So I think those confounding variables are going to be teased out in follow-up studies that look more closely at the overall survival outcomes.